This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President-elect Donald Trump has named Republican Congresswoman Elise Stefanik from New York as the new UN ambassador. Trump saying former ICE director Tom Holman will be border czar. ABC's Rachel Scott has more from Mar-a-Lago.
Republicans will cast a secret ballot to elect a new Republican leader. It comes as Mitch McConnell is stepping down from Republican leader after serving in that position for decades. Elise Stefanik will have to go through a confirmation process, but that position of border czar does not require a Senate confirmation.
Several people close to President-elect Trump have stressed to ABC News the significance and influence of billionaire Elon Musk. Over the past week, since Election Day, the world's richest man has spent nearly every day at Mar-a-Lago with Trump, multiple sources tell ABC News. Fire crews on both coasts are battling wildfires, including a blaze along the border of New York and New Jersey that killed a parks employee, and one northwest of Los Angeles in Ventura County that has already destroyed more than 130 homes. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulotz. The Wisconsin Supreme Court hears an abortion case today. Abortion access in Wisconsin was blocked for more than a year following the U.S. Supreme Court ruling that overturned Roe v. Wade. Last September, in a case brought by Wisconsin's Democratic Attorney General Josh Call, challenging the state's 1849 law, which had been interpreted as a ban, a Dane County judge ruled the law did not broadly apply to abortion. Sheboygan County District Attorney Joel Ermansky, a Republican, asked the state Supreme Court in February to overturn the ruling. Black students at UW-Madison are among many nationwide to receive racist text messages. The texts can vary. Some use the N-word, but all make references to slave catchers and picking cotton. The senders also address the recipients by name. UW-Madison police say state and federal agencies, including the FBI and the FCC, are investigating, and that any students receiving such a text message can fill out a harassment, discrimination, and bias report. It's not just Black adults getting such texts. Children are targeted as well, including a 12-year-old girl in Milwaukee, prompting her family to wonder how the senders got her name and information. Attorney General Josh Call says anyone who received a racist text should contact law enforcement. A record number of school referendums passed last week. A report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum shows $3.4 billion in school tax increases were approved by voters last Tuesday. The largest among them were a pair of measures in Madison that increase spending by $600 million over the next 21 years. That will go towards operating expenses as well as renovations at elementary and middle schools. Other major increases were approved in Kaukauna, Green Bay, and Janesville. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
Jaylen Brown calls Giannis a child. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks lost to the Boston Celtics 113-107. In the second quarter, Giannis Antetokounmpo went over to the Celtics' Jaylen Brown, extending his hand for a handshake, then pulled it away to run his fingers through his hair. After the game, Brown was asked in the Celtics' locker room about the fake handshake.
Giannis is a child. You know, I'm just focused on helping my team get a win.
Giannis says he was just having some fun.
It's a joke. You know, we're playing basketball. It's something that I do to my kids. Play around, you know, sometimes I'm like, give me a high five. Hope you're too slow. I just did it. It was fun. He took offense to it. What do you say?
He was asked about it after the game, and he said, Giannis is a child.
You know, if I'm called a child, yeah, so be it.
The Bucks are now 2-8. They host the Toronto Raptors tomorrow night. College hoops, the Wisconsin Badgers rolled over Appalachian State 87-56 at the Kohl Center. The Badgers now 3-0 on the season. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
It is going to be a little breezy this morning, but the wind will die down by later this afternoon. Mostly sunny. We'll get to the mid to upper 40s for a high today. Tonight, it'll be clear with a low in the upper 20s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the upper 40s to near 50. Rain possible tomorrow night into Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 47.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
It is absolutely disgusting for conservatives to suggest that because someone is poor or struggling, that they lack judgment. If anybody needs morality policing, it's rich folks, for crying out loud, not people who are struggling to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail, and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, Jim Santel, former U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Wisconsin, is in the host chair for The Maggie Dawn Show.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. News from the Center, WRCE.
Hey, Peter, are you still... All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. A Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. I'm still joined by all the women, Milwaukee all the women, Larissa Taylor. And in a moment, we'll be joined by the president of the Milwaukee Bucks, Mr. Peter Fagan. So while we await the arrival of Peter Fagan, the Bucks have had a profound impact financially on the city of Milwaukee. Is it safe to say that, Alderwoman?
I think it is safe to say that.
Mm-hmm. And so when you look at what has taken place downtown around the Pfizer Forum, all of that development. Mm-hmm. I can recall before Peter Fagan and his cohorts came to town, that was all empty. They had torn down everything. And for years, that was a blighted area.
Right.
Look at it now.
I look at it now, yeah. I think it's making our city very competitive with other large cities. You know, it's making us competitive and more of a tourist attraction city. And that's one of the things that we need to grow.
I always say to people in this listening audience who have not been to Milwaukee, and really have no concept of what has happened in our downtown area, it is absolutely beautiful. I think the skyline of the city of Milwaukee was just recently voted one of the top in the entire world. That kind of just blew my mind. Yeah. I remember like yesterday when the only thing that we had in the way of a skyline was what used to be called the First Wisconsin Building.
Right.
And so there's been tremendous growth in that area.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so we can look at the new Northwestern Mutual building that's there. And like you said, all of the new museum that's coming, the trade hotel is bringing about market, Third Street Market. I mean, so we have so many wonderful things in our city, and we're still growing. And so when we look at how the mayor would like to grow MKE to 1 million people, when we look at those developments, we can see that we're well on our way.
But it's always safe to say downtown, great, the growth of what's happened in downtown Milwaukee is spectacular. And clearly we wound up with the Republican National Convention, you know, last time around that we're supposed to have had the Democratic National Convention. So we're receiving great accolades about the growth of our city. But on the other side of it is, you know, it's great that downtown is doing as great as it is. But, you know, not many miles away, there's a part of our city like there is all over this nation that's forgotten.
Right. Yeah.
So as a city father, what's your thoughts about that?
I think that's unfortunate, but I think that we have a lot of aldermen who are working very hard in each of their respective districts to help the growth in that in those areas. I know we see a lot of development coming about in the 6th District with many, and that's very close to the downtown area. So it is spilling over into some of the other areas. And it's our job to make sure that it carries over into all the areas.
You know, not just Milwaukee, but all over this nation, development in downtown areas doesn't always equate to the average citizen in their lives getting better. How do you work to make development that is great for business, you know, move over to, you know, what is these trickle-down economics? Where is the trickle-down?
Yeah. And that's where I really got my work cut out for me, and I think all of us do, is to make sure that we are advocating for those developments that are going to help us grow. So I fortunately have one of the largest areas for development, and we're working very hard to make sure that we get the best development that's going to not just support the district, but support the city as a whole.
So development is great, but conditions that people live in is something altogether different. Mm-hmm. So the fact that we've got great buildings is nice, but people struggling economically is a real issue. I lived in the city when, you know, as a very young boy and a young man, when the difference of people struggling was not as clear as it is now.
Right.
And so what's being done about trying to figure out a way to help move people beyond the conditions, economic conditions? One of the reasons that people say the Democrats lost was because they didn't listen to the people who are struggling.
Right.
And so, here we are. So if... We're finally joined by the president of the Milwaukee Bucks. I don't know if he's if he can hear us. All right, there he is. Mr. Fagan, how are you doing, sir? I don't know. We're still working on it. but until we get him up and on, Mr. Fagan, can you hear us? All right.
So, well, one of those things I want to say is that development goes hand in hand with that, because you want to advocate for those developments that are going to bring about jobs to help improve that economic value of the areas and raise those values. But one of the other things that I think is very important is to build those partnerships with all the entities that are in the different areas, building those partnerships, letting people know that there is the support system that is in place as we begin to grow the area.
I think we
economically and educationally.
Alderwoman Taylor, Mr. Fagan.
Good morning. Sorry about
that. Listen, that is all right. It is an honor and a privilege to have the one and only President Peter Fagan of the Milwaukee Bucks on board. How are you doing, sir?
Good. Would have been a little bit better with a win over the Celtics tomorrow. Yes.
Well, thank you for accepting the invitation. I will say to you, you're looking at a guy who remembers when the Milwaukee Bucks first came to Milwaukee. And when we would go down to the auditorium, which is now UWM, and watch Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Oscar Robinson and John McLaughlin and Bobby Dandridge play basketball in front of 10,000 sold out seats. It's certainly come a long way, sir.
Yeah, it has. Thank goodness, which is real opportunity to kind of expand our platform like over the years, but they definitely laid the groundwork on allowing that platform and kind of a great history of NBA basketball in Milwaukee.
You know, I was saying to all the women, Taylor, before you guys got here, all of that area where you are, where the Bucks are right now, they had torn down everything. It had stood barren. I'm a lifelong City of Milwaukee resident for 70 years, so I know where all the bones are buried. And I remember what that was and that eyesore. And I kept wondering, when are they going to do something? They tore this down, and they didn't do anything. And all of a sudden, I heard your name mentioned. I'm like, okay, who is this guy? Okay, he's going to come in and be a savior. Certainly wasn't believing it because, again, it's been my entire life here in Milwaukee. Was very slow in redeveloping. Cities comparable to Milwaukee had already redeveloped. Cincinnati, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, all of them had done those things. When you came and saw our city, what were your thoughts? I don't know.
Uh-oh.
We lost him. Mm-hmm. But anyway, but as we work through this snafu, I'm going to ask him that question because, they came in and they did exactly what they said they would do. They transformed a city that had once been a beautiful, beautiful city, that economically striving. Mm-hmm. And by the time that he came on the scene, our city was really struggling. It was a time in my life when Milwaukee was the 12th largest city in the United States.
Right.
And I don't know where we are now, in the 30s or something like that. So been a major change. All right, 855-752-4842. We're going to work it out. Peter Fagan, the president of the Milwaukee Bucks, alderwoman Larissa Taylor, and you on a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Civic Media, Wisconsin's source for real news and great conversation, offers podcasts of all of our daily shows online and on demand. Simply go to civicmedia.us, click on Daily Shows, and choose the podcast that you want to download. Shows are updated daily, or you can save them and listen all at once. Our podcasts are sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. You are an organ donor, right? Talk to your family. Get the dot. save lives. Learn more at heroicdeed.com.
The Dom Salvia Show.
I had somebody recently in one of the classes I was teaching saying to me, I don't do politics, Mr. Santel. I don't spend all my time watching MSNBC and reading the opinion columns. I get that.
You might not do politics, but sooner or later, politics is going to do you. Yeah. You got to have some basic level of understanding of what government is about and how it functions and a little bit of the history of it.
You need to do enough.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
John Legend, ladies and gentlemen. John, you and I have something in common because your last name is Legend and you're an actual legend. And my last name is Schwabba and I'm an actual Schwabba. So there you go.
No, what is a Schwabba? You have to explain.
I'm a work in progress, but as soon as I figure it out, I'll let you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
All right, welcome back to Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. The music is because today is my wife's birthday. And so, you know, happy birthday to my bride of over 43 years. I am, again, honored to have Mr. Peter Fagan, who is the president of the Milwaukee Bucks. And, sir, before we went on break, I was saying to you, when you came into this city and you saw the area right now that has been transformed, and you're a guy, a global guy, and you saw that area downtown, did you envision what is there now? Or what was your thoughts?
Yeah, I would say, like, hard to envision what's there now. We pretended we saw, like, this grand vision. I think it kind of is, like, all kind of, a lot of planning, fortuitous, lucky. I don't think, you know, I talk to a lot of counterparts around the country and around the world that are looking to build districts around arenas and stadiums. And I tell them that very hard to get set up as lucky as we were with like 35 contiguous acres, like in the middle of a city. You know, as we know, we live here. So, you know, it's a city that didn't really have a gathering place like in the middle of the city. It's a city that had this swatch of land that was really underdeveloped. The highway was ripped down. You know, it's literally right near the river. It was just ripe for kind of for development in such a big way. So I think as we started to plan, as we started to kind of think about this, you know, the sky became the limit. How did we want to really create a mixed use place that had hotels, that had retail, that was welcoming to everybody, that made the community kind of a central point, and do things from lighting the Milwaukee Christmas tree to kind of have community events to like have our Bucks and concert series. So, you know, I would say like we kind of delusionally say we did have that vision, but I think it grew like over time a little bit.
You know, I remember when there was conversation about building then Miller Park downtown on Plankinton Avenue. That might have been before you arrived. And I know that all over the nation, people had built these arenas and stadiums in the downtown areas. And I remember the Brewers choosing and Bud Selig choosing not to build downtown, and it retarded the growth, I think, of our city, our downtown especially. And so, you know, who was going to come? And so our downtown died. And, you know, and I remember distinctly when you guys came in, and I look at downtown now, the Riverwalk that is expanding, and you can, Milwaukee can compete with major cities now for, you know, we just had the Republican National Convention. We just missed the Democratic National Convention because of COVID, and people are talking about the city of Milwaukee nationally, which had never been done since we were the machine shop of the world 40 years ago, and they were talking about us because of our beer production and the fact that we, you know, produce things for all over the world. Are you satisfied? Are you excited about the work that you've done? Is it over?
No. I think, like, listen, as a city, we're just getting to where we're promoting, like, the great things about Milwaukee. You know, like, every city has its blemishes, has its challenges, its struggles. That was kind of the focal point of the marketing of Milwaukee. I mean, we want to be this epicenter, this destination, you know, the city of Milwaukee, and specifically, like, the Deer District in a way that like, really is an emblem of like greatness, you know. And like, when these owners came in and invested down, you know, they did not think like, hey, how do we compete, you know, to be a Midwest city? How do we do a national? Wanted the best of the best, you know, kind of the gold standard. And I think a lot of, you know, companies in Milwaukee, a lot of citizens in Milwaukee are starting to kind of step up and kind of think about it, you know, not standing back and really promoting ourselves, really standing on like a high foundation. It's a great city. It's got unbelievable like foundations, we've got unbelievable opportunities, and we've got to start acting like a city that wants to be about growth and wants to be about, you know, improvement and moving forward kind of thing. And I think a development like the Deer District kind of lets people physically see that.
So you know, you and what you guys have been able to accomplish in this, what is it, 10 years?
It's almost 10 years. So the arena's a little bit over 6 years old when it opened up. We had a couple years of COVID, but I think it's been, you know, almost a 10-year journey with new ownership, kind of going through the public-private financing, going through the actual creation of it, building out the rest of the district, winning an NBA championship, you know, in kind of the last few years of opening up a hotel, the Live Nation venue, kind of continuing to cultivate and, you know, curate kind of the entertainment center.
I got to tell you, when you first got here, before you guys got here, there were all sorts of people writing stories about why would they come to Hicksville? You guys were considered Madison Avenue slicksters, and you're coming to Hicksville. what are your thoughts about that?
I think we were like New York finance, you know, fast-talking salespeople. I think it's even worse for the Midwest. To think about that. I think it's about opportunity. I know, like, one of the things the owners felt is, you know, one of 30 NBA teams is kind of like this rarefied, you know, rarefied place in the world. Like, you know, it was a distressed asset at the time. They kind of had the vision of if you have this platform, you know, you can really build it, you can leverage it, make it a great thing. I tell all my counterparts, but other, you have no idea, like, what an NBA platform can mean in a city like Milwaukee, really affects you.
So Mr. Fagan, President Peter Fagan of the Milwaukee Bucks is on the docket, along with all the women, Melissa Taylor, Larissa Taylor. And we will continue our conversation. Our phone lines open at 855-752-4842. You know, Mr. Fagan, we're heard all over the state of Wisconsin. And I want them to understand what you built in our city. And they need to come and see it. We'll be right back.
News from the Center, WRCE. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The Riverdale one-act play has advanced to the State Theater Festival. On Saturday, the cast and crew of the Riverdale one-act play, When Bad Things Happen to Good Actors, earned the right to advance to the state competition to be held in 2 weeks at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee campus. The performance time has not yet been announced. Vernon County, in partnership with UW-Madison Extension, has launched a housing study aimed at addressing the current and future housing needs of Vernon County. A crucial first step is the release of a housing survey, which is underway. This study will play a vital role in shaping future plans for Vernon County to help understand the barriers to housing development and identify the needs and preferences of residents. The data collected will not only guide future housing decisions, but also provide valuable insights for developers and municipalities to create a more responsive and effective housing strategy. By participating in the survey, residents will have the opportunity to share their experiences, concerns, and suggestions regarding housing in Vernon County. This inclusive approach ensures the voices of all community members are heard and considered throughout this process. Community input is invaluable, and all community members are encouraged to not only participate, but to share the survey with neighbors, friends, and family to help ensure that all community members' needs are represented. The survey will run from now through December 8th, and the survey can be found online. Complete the survey online at your convenience. Estimated time to complete the survey is 10 minutes. Paper copies will be available by November 15th at local libraries and municipal clerk's offices in Vernon County, as well as the UW-Madison Extension office in Viroqua. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabo. If you're a Star Wars fan, prepare to go into a lather. There is a new trilogy in the works from Lucasfilm. Writer-producer Simon Kinberg will write, produce, and develop the three new Star Wars films. It's been 5 years since we saw The Rise of Skywalker, which was the most recent Star Wars film in theaters. Since then, Lucasfilm brought us three shows in the Mandalorian world, including The Mandalorian, The Book of Boba Fett, and Ahsoka, and the upcoming Skeleton Crew. They also launched shows The Acolyte, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and Andor. Simon Kinberg is known for his writing and producing skills for several X-Men films and 2016's Deadpool. Variety reports the new trilogy is in the early stages of development, so there are no story details just yet. There has also been no announcement on when production might start. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be a little breezy this morning, but the wind will die down by later this afternoon. Mostly sunny. We'll get to the mid to upper 40s for a high today. Tonight, it'll be clear with a low in the upper 20s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the upper 40s to near 50. Rain possible tomorrow night into Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 47.
The Todd Alba Show.
If you haven't tried mindfulness techniques before, the idea is to take a minute, focus on the present, not the past, not the future. Be here now. You can do it in your car.
Please not while you're driving.
I would say preferably not driving. Just take a moment and close your eyes and just breathe. Focus like on the breath coming into your body and out.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we continue looking for California guy Eric Hovde, and we'll hear from Mr. Global Matt Randolph, oil and gas expert. He's fantastic. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
All right. Welcome back to Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. Today, all this music is dedicated to my wife, and a happy birthday to Miss Allie. And I am joined by Alderwoman Larissa Taylor and the president of the Milwaukee Bucks, Mr. Peter Fagan. So, Mr. Fagan, I will ask you, as we just recently, Milwaukee's downtown was listed as one of the most beautiful downtowns, not in the Midwest, not in, you know, America, but in the world. Are you aware of that, sir? I don't know. Can you hear us? Yeah. Can did you hear me? I don't know. Okay, we lost him. But anyway, Alderwoman Tyler, are you aware of that?
I wasn't aware of that until you just said that, but I think that's a great thing to be recognized as one of the greatest hubs.
The most beautiful cities, downtowns, especially in the entire right. world. And so I want to say to those in this listening audience, and I wanted to, again, when we see if we can find, it's kind of ironic that, you know, we're having this problem with President Fagan, that, you know, the city of Milwaukee and the imprint that they have on us is amazing. Mm-hmm. So are you back, sir?
I could be back. Am I back?
Yes, you're back.
Okay,
so let me say this to you. Are you aware of the fact that the city of Milwaukee has been listed as one of the most beautiful skylines in the entire world? That was something that was talked about several weeks ago. I was stunned when I heard that, because I remember when all we had was the big white tall block building, 45-story. I don't know what it's called now. It used to be called the First Wisconsin Center. Are you familiar with that building?
I'm familiar with almost every building, probably like the Alderwoman. Like, probably too much of our existence is the landscape of stuff. So I'm a huge fan of the landscape. I spent a lot of time in post grad, like in Chicago. I don't like calling Milwaukee like a smaller version of Chicago, but I do think the architecture, I do think kind of like the wealth and the culture of kind of the depth of how our city is just beautiful is incredible. Like, so, when you walk around.
So what do you want to say to the listeners across this state who have heard that it's too dangerous to come into our city, and they're fearful of our city because they've never been in the city? And I always say to them, you have any idea how many people visit our city during the summer? Summerfest, all the great things that we have going on. For heaven's sakes, there are even ships where people come here, cruise ships, stopping to see downtown Milwaukee. What do you want to say to people who are fearful and think that it's not safe, sir? That. All right. Okay, we're still struggling.
Okay, am I okay?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I would say very simple. I mean, we are the destination. Any major city, any urban city has issues.
Oh.
All right. So I don't know what's happening, but, you know, it's a great conversation, and I'm going to make sure that we get him back, because there's so many different things I want to talk about with him, especially, you know, why he's decided to stay here and make Milwaukee home. That's a guy, you know, can live anywhere in the world.
Right.
And yet he's here. But all the women in the meantime.
Yeah.
You say what about our city?
I say it's a great city to live in. And I think we're all working very hard to come together, make decisions that's in the best interest of the entire city. So, as you said, we're building up downtown. We're building up 3rd Street coming into downtown. We're looking at some great things for our port. All those things are going to make us one of those places that people want to come to. I often talk about being the district of opportunity, but we are becoming the city of opportunity. And that's a great thing.
You know, when you talk about Dr. King Drive, mm-hmm. Number one, it used to be called Third Street.
Right.
But as a young man, I was involved with an organization called the Young Milwaukeeans mm-hmm. who fought to change the name to Dr. King Drive. And so for many decades, it remained barren. But I see the development that is taking place there and really, really excited about it. I don't know. We're going to try it again. Mr. Fagan? Okay. So when we get him back, we'll get him back. But, you know, there's so many different things that I want to ask him that I've been wanting to ask him for a long, long time. Because I spend a lot of time downtown. If it's walking and doing a lot of other things. Mr. Fagan, are you there? Okay, we see him, but we can't hear him.
Okay.
I don't know how much longer we can do this. We may have to reschedule him, Calvin. But just check one more time and see if we can get it going. But all the women, Taylor, mm-hmm. You just came through with a new $2 billion budget for the city. Hold on, I think, Mr. Fagan, are you back? Okay, all right. A two billion dollar mm-hmm. budget for the city of Milwaukee. Tell us a little bit about it.
One of the things I can tell you is I understand that there is a lot of the budget that are going to city services, and particularly our law enforcement. But I also know that the aldermen worked very hard, and we worked together to make sure that we had those resources for our constituents that are also in the budget to support with our growing city. So to support with home ownership, to support our city with eviction-free resources. So I think that's the important part of that budget, is to make sure that residents in our city are not overtaxed, that they're not over-assessed with fees, and that they have resources available to support their quality of life.
Well, I have to tell you, as a homeowner, for a number of years, taxes have certainly gone up, not just from the city, from the county, from Milwaukee Public Schools.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and I'm fortunate that I'm a person who's able to pay those taxes. But there are many people who are strapped mm-hmm. by the increase in taxes. And it's one of the reasons why I hear people say we're leaving because of these continued increases in taxes. What do you want to say to people who are struggling mm-hmm. With the tax burden that has certainly risen in the city of Milwaukee?
I want to say that's why it was extremely important that we looked at those resources. And so when we advocated for funds being put into those resources, money being redirected into resources that's going to support those services that people are going to need. And so, yes, those taxes came into place. But when you offset that with down payment assistance or eviction free, then we're providing those services that are going to help people be okay.
Well, see, I happen to know that for the most part, the entire property tax revenue mm-hmm. goes towards police and fire. And so the increase in, we got Peter. He's on the phone.
Oh.
Is that right, Calvin? All right, yeah. Mr. Fagan.
You got me?
Yeah, well, thank you.
Let's
thank
go
you.
Back to land. Let's go back to landlines. I've got 15 computers and 10 Wi-Fi.
That's okay. I'm honored that you have chosen to stick with us. I guess I was saying to people before we got disconnected, you want to say to this listening audience about the safety of our city, especially downtown?
Yeah, I think, like, you know, and the alderwoman probably agree, we spend a lot of our focus on this city has to be safe to encourage people to come down, to encourage people to live here, to encourage people to shop here, and of course, like, come out and entertainment. I mean, we spend an exorbitant amount of our time, money, presence, figuring out how to continually to improve, you know, the safety of the city. And it's gotten considerably better. I think if you took COVID as kind of a low point in kind of the city's ability and our ability to slow down kind of what the what was happening in crime in and around downtown, it's a whole new city to get that done. And I think, you know, the truth is we are beyond sensitive to it because it's our livelihood. You know, we cannot have an unsafe downtown. We cannot have an unsafe Deer District because that's the deterrent right away for someone not to come to get it down. So I think, you know, the city and downtown is in a great direction. We spend a lot of time with the MPD, the sheriff department, as well as like the other inhabitants of downtown, including like large employers, including the city government, including ever constantly thinking about the improvement and the raising the bar and everything from lighting to presence to timing and to critical paths of people taking. So, you know, like I encourage everybody to come down. Of course, we put on about 150 events. We've got other surrounding things in conventions and other theaters that, you know, this in retrospect, in comparison to other cities is a fine city and getting better to experience that in. So, you know, I think in every city, you've got to be cognizant of it, but we really are, you know, serious about making this a safer place and kind of raising the bar.
You know, the redevelopment of Wisconsin Avenue, for heaven's sakes, the symphony is comparable with almost any anywhere in the United States, and some say anywhere in the world. The redevelopment of Wisconsin Avenue that was a wasteland, and the fingerprint of what you guys have done is expanding. Is it safe to say that?
If you look at the bones and like what has changed in the ripple effect of the Deer District, whether it's the expansion of the convention center, which is now just what you said,
absolutely,
like literally the most beautiful convention center in the country. And I've been to like all of them. It's the gold standard, the symphony, the Third Street Mall, you know, market, the mall. These are all unbelievable like leaps into the future and assets of the city to like encourage, you know, folks to go. When you go to Third Street Market and you see it packed like during lunchtime, you know, when you see street fairs that are like bringing things back down, I mean, they're all little parts of things that we've got to accelerate and keep building. And, you know, one of my I'd like to be the largest cheerleader of Milwaukee in the history of the world to continue to like promote development, growth, bring companies here, like, and make it attractive for companies to be here. More is more. The more spend we have, the more capital we have, like in the city of Milwaukee, the better the city of Milwaukee will become.
So, and Alderwoman Taylor, I come to you after I asked him this question.
Uh-huh.
It is unlimited. We've got a lakefront. A lot of cities have built on rivers. Sir, we have a lakefront, untapped potential. On the other side, I want you to kind of delve into if there's any thought at all about development on the lakefront. I'm joined by president of the Milwaukee Bucks, Mr. Peter Fagan, and Alderwoman Larissa Taylor. 855-752-4842. We're talking about the great development of the city of Milwaukee.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going.
slower.
iZurvey is proven to slow GA progression.
iZurvey gets GA going slower.
iZurvey or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. iZurvey can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. iZurvey may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about iZurvey today.
iZurvey gets GA going slower.
Visit iZurvey.com. That's iZurvey.com.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Jeannie from Eau Claire.
I am thankful for Civic Media, the on-air talent, the technicians, the producers, the new staff, and especially Mr. Sage Wild. It's a very, very sad, shocking day for me, but I still have hope because I have hope in you guys. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Jeannie. You give us hope. Appreciate you listening.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel joins us now to make our popcorn pick of the week. Hey, Mike.
When I was a kid in the 70s, there was no Walmart. There was no right. Sears was everything, from our tools to all our back-to-school clothes, everything else.
Pants, stereos, kitchen appliances. Do you have pantyhose? Yeah, they're right next to power tools on second floor. It's like you really could get everything there.
Everything.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Try to see things my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can go on? Are you seeing it your way? On the risk of knowing that my love may soon be gone. We can work it out.
Did we lose? Oh.
Think of what you're saying. You can get it wrong and still think that it's all right. Hey, think of what I'm saying. We can work it out and get it straight or say goodnight. We can work it out. We can work it out.
All right. Welcome back to what is the last few minutes of the Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. I'm joined by Alderwoman Larissa Taylor and President of the Milwaukee Bucks, Mr. Peter Fagan. So, sir, the tentacles. I was asking you about the lakefront, which, you know, like I said, different places, San Antonio, you know, Cincinnati, the Pittsburgh, they kind of built on rivers. We've got a spectacular lakefront that I sometimes wonder, you know, it runs for so many miles. Do you ever foresee us doing any development on that lakefront?
Well, I think you're seeing it downtown on kind of residential. You're seeing it with what Northwestern Mutual has done. You can certainly expand it. But, I mean, that lakefront is kind of probably the greatest unleveraged asset of like what makes our whole city, because so many cities don't have that kind of water. We've got, you know, hundreds of thousands of citizens and kids who have never even seen the lakefront, you know, that live within like 10 miles, 5 miles, 20 miles. And it's such like a natural gem that's like the most incredible thing. So, yeah, I think the lakefront is kind of one of the underleveraged pieces. I mean, I love that Summerfest is there. I love that the art museum, which is one of the greatest things, you know, kind of, again, you talked about the symphony. Like, we've got these assets that can compete with any city in the world, you know, and the art museum is one of them. Kind of the lakefront is one of them. The Riverwalk is one of them. You know, it really does. This city just has incredible assets.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Alderwoman.
Yes. So I want to say thank you to Peter Fagan for because I was just saying that it's important to have a vision and a mission. And when you get people to buy into that vision and that mission, and I think he's done that, then we work together and we can see what the results of that is. Because when we look at, like you said, things like the Art Museum and Discovery World, I mean, those are attractions that are going to bring the War Memorial is still down there. Great place to be, right? So when we look at that and we look at pulling the city all together, that's when we're looking at that we are a destination place. We're becoming more and more of a destination place for people. And so we look at the more possibilities there are, such as our port of Milwaukee, so that we can build that up and be more attractive to people.
So President Fagan, I waited till the end. What's wrong with the Bucks?
Listen, I'd love to say I've got this. We are struggling. We are like all in this. You've got a group of folks together, the players, the coaches, the management that like, you know, we will like in any, you know, downtime, we will get out of this. We'll figure this out. But this has been extremely disappointing, extremely frustrating. It's pro basketball. You know, there's 72 more games to go. We're playing better. And I think, like, you know, piece by piece, it's how do we be constructive and kind of get at it. We haven't had this type of hole, you know, in a long time to work out of. And the difference is we've got the assets. We've got the players. We got to play better. We got to win some games.
You know, I hate to say it, but I been watching Chris Middleton for a long, long time. I didn't realize just how valuable he was.
Yeah, I think it's today's NBA. Like, we've got two superstars who are playing like superstars, but really the difference of, you know, kind of high caliber teams are 2.5 to 3 superstars, you know, to win games. And he's a huge contributor on so many other parts too. He's got the pace of the game. You can't leave him alone to shoot. He can handle the ball. So, and by the way, he's also, you know, a 10-year teammate with Giannis, which by itself just like creates this kind of comfortable, you know, that they've had literally hundreds of wins together, and a championship together. So yeah, we are missing Chris. I don't think Chris is the sole reason we're kind of lagging. I think it's definitely one of them, but you know, we have to play better. We have to do all the things everybody's talking about. We've got to move the ball. We've got to play 4 great quarters to win. And there's a lot of parity in the NBA, and you got to come out every night to win.
No panic.
Listen, if I was panicking, I wouldn't tell you. I'd keep it inside and panic to my wife and over dinner. But no, this is sports. This is human behavior. This is like you got to go through a rainstorm to get a rainbow. So we're going through tough. This is where you see everybody's character. This is like we built a culture here. You know, kind of we've got Giannis, we've got Dame, we've got Brooke. We've got folks that, you know, these are world class great people. You know, they're great athletes, obviously, but this is where you find out who you are. You go through a tough time.
And not to mention you've had one of the toughest schedules to start in the entire NBA. Things will get a little easier.
They will. I owe you a visit to your studio. I'm never going to do this remotely again. I apologize for the technical.
That's all right, sir. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule. We're certainly going to invite you back. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Alderwoman Taylor. We'll bring you back as well.
Thank you.
Up next, Jane Madner, Greg Bach, Madner on air. And again, happy birthday to my wife, Allie. See you tomorrow.
News from the Center, WRCE. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, we're all about Madison as I welcome comedian Johnny Beaner back to the show, and then WMDX morning show radio legends John Peterson and Gordy Young join the show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Tom, your thoughts.
I don't believe that people don't know who Trump is at this point, and they have willfully decided to ignore everything he has said in order to vote what they think is the most important thing. And that's what voting is all about. But you can't claim ignorance when it comes time that Trump is going to pull the trigger and do some things that are going to hurt you and your family. That's what's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.